It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Where's the beef? Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. There's been another Russian ransomware attack, and this one might lead to meat shortages at the grocery store. Brazil-based meat supplier JBS blames a criminal gang of hackers. Former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says critical infrastructure is increasingly vulnerable to these sorts of cyber attacks.
This is a national security issue.
Do you think there's a connection to the Kremlin?
I don't think there's any question. The Russian intelligence agencies operate in every sector within their own countries and clearly know what kind of criminal elements are involved. The Russians know what's going on.
Panetta speaking to CBS News today. Former Homeland Security official Fran Townsend.
President Biden has a meeting coming up with Vladimir Putin. He's going to have to raise this. President Biden rightly is calling for a global coalition to hold those nation states who harbor these criminals accountable.
JBS hopes to be back in business by today. One quarter of the U.S. beef supply was shut off yesterday by this ransomware attack. From beef to the border, a new video surfaced that puts a human face on the growing humanitarian crisis at our southern border. It shows a crying five-year-old boy abandoned by human smugglers near El Paso. The child is clutching his teddy bear and screaming, "Please don't leave me," after being dropped off by a couple of traffickers. Heartbreaking to listen to. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan accuses the Biden administration of incentivizing this sort of chaos at our border.
They created this mess. It's almost as if it's intentional. The president won't go to the border. The vice president won't go to the border. It's like they want to stick their head in the sand and hope the country doesn't notice. But we do. It is wrong, and they're the ones responsible.
Jordan accuses argues the surge of illegal immigrants exposes the threats posed by human smugglers. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Costa Rica today holding high-level talks on the immigration issue, and Vice President Kamala Harris will visit Mexico and Guatemala next week. The White House has suspended all oil and gas leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska. Correspondent Jeff Berardelli.
The suspension does not guarantee that drilling will be indefinitely blocked in the Arctic Refuge. The administration has only committed to reviewing the leases, but not canceling them altogether.
Energy expert and U.S. Senate candidate Kelly Tishbaka says if it does, it would devastate the Alaskan economy.
We've waited six decades for ANWR to be opened, and over 80% of Alaskans support drilling in less than 1% of ANWR. That's what we're talking about here. But this doesn't just stop drilling. It stops even exploration. It stops all activity in anything having to do with ANWR.
Critics say this sort of posturing by the Biden administration is endangering America's energy independence. President Biden hopes to get a $1.7 trillion infrastructure improvement plan across the finish line this month. U.S. Senator Mike Braun of Indiana, not too optimistic.
I don't know how you bridge the gap when you both have come a long way and you still have an $800 billion gap.
Braun says much of the president's infrastructure initiative includes items that have nothing to do with infrastructure. The Biden administration continues to try and fund controversial social justice programs. The White House now attempting a loan forgiveness program for minorities. It also wants to narrow the racial wealth gap in this country. Former Princeton professor Dr. Carol Swain.
Democrats are already on record saying that racism is permanent. And so these programs that he's proposing, it's all about votes. It will not work.
Swain says the White House is using the race card to pander to progressives. When it comes to the origins of COVID-19, Texas Congressman Michael McCaul calls it the worst cover-up in human history. Fox News commentator Bill McGurn says the pandemic once provided political cover to President Biden, but not so much anymore.
In 2020, COVID-19 was politically a great gift to Joe Biden. He was able to hang out in his basement, let the press savage Donald Trump. But in 2021, it's not leading him in a good direction.
President Biden reversed course last month on investigating the origins of the virus. After shutting down a Trump-era probe, he's now ordered a three-month investigation into how this disease became a global pandemic. Overseas today, Iran's largest warship caught fire and sank in the Gulf of Oman. It happened about 800 miles from the Iranian coast. The fire is still under investigation. Big news from the world of horse racing. Medina Spirit, this year's Kentucky Derby champ, has failed a second drug test, and that means that horse will probably be stripped of that crown. It's only happened twice in the 147-year history of the Kentucky Derby. From Southern California to the foothills of the Rockies, there is high, hard heat to contend with out west. Forecaster Lonnie Quinn.
You're looking at 103 in Yakima, and it just continues to expand. For your day on Thursday, 103 in Boise, Idaho. You're 96 in portions of North Dakota. On Saturday, could be some record highs around Minneapolis, like, say, 92 degrees or so.
And it's all headed our way, folks. 90-plus degree temperatures will invade our listening area late this weekend into early next week. Still to come on the Noon Report for Wednesday, flag flap in Pennsylvania. Buffalo hopes baseball saves its businesses. And the cat invasion at the home of the invaders.
Good afternoon. Tracking a few scattered showers and thunderstorms across parts of the area this afternoon. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin Williams. We're checking the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania next, a school bus driver from Silver Creek, New York, facing a number of charges after authorities say she drove under the influence of drugs with kids on board. Happened yesterday morning in the Seneca Nation territory. Seneca Nation marshals stopped the bus after they say it swerved into oncoming traffic. At the time, nine students from the Gowanda School District were on board. They were headed to the Lake Shore, Boces. We are now in the midst of the 100 deadliest days. That's the time between Memorial Day and Labor Day, when it's most dangerous to be a teenage driver.
Summer to a lot of teenagers means freedom. And if they're at that age, 16, 17, 18, they want to get their license and they want to be able to drive over the summer, of course.
AAA's Mike Foreman says parents need to instill good driving habits in their kids.
Make sure the teens are looking over the shoulder every time they pull away from a curb. Make sure they're looking behind when they're backing. Make sure they're obeying the speed limit. Make sure they know what the rules of the road are.
On average, 10 teenagers a day are killed in car crashes in this country from Memorial Day to Labor Day. We'll call it an unintended consequence of marijuana legalization in New York. Poison control centers are treating more children who accidentally ingest cannabis products. Dr. Christine Stork is a poison control expert in Western New York. She says when it comes to marijuana, legal or not,
it needs to be treated as though it's a medicine and it's a drug. It's got to be up and away. It's got to be treated like any other toxic medication that might be in the home.
Most calls to poison control centers have been for marijuana edibles. She says young kids often mistake these products for candy. An illegal flag displayed outside the Pennsylvania State Capitol is celebrating Pride Month. It was put there by the state's lieutenant governor.
Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman chose to mark the beginning of the month by once again displaying a pride flag on the balcony of his state capitol office, despite knowing a law exists prohibiting it. A law passed last year barring the display of any flag other than the American Pennsylvania or POWMIA flags on the exterior of the Pennsylvania Capitol. Fetterman's flag was confiscated by Department of General Services employees. Fetterman made it clear he intends to replace it with another one. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Just 8 days left in the New York State legislative session, and lawmakers are scrambling to wrap up work before they go on summer break. One of the most contentious items on their to-do list has to do with criminal justice reform. A measure being endorsed by Democrats would allow for the early release of inmates over the age of 55, providing they've served 15 years of their sentence. If passed, these prisoners could be let go regardless of the crimes they've committed. New York Republicans have taken the wraps off their own version of prison reform legislation. Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort thinks violent criminals should be forced to serve their maximum sentence. He calls the GOP proposal pro-victim.
The only justice we can offer those families is to keep these people locked up for the length of their prison sentence. Again, they were convicted by a jury of their peers and sentenced by a judge.
Dart says that any decision to release any inmate in New York should be unanimous by a parole board. A church in Perry, New York is fighting for the right to worship without masks. The Old Paths Chapel in court Tuesday. Their attorney is Carl Schwartz.
I refuse to lose. We have so much at stake. Our rights and freedoms as New Yorkers and Americans have been so beset upon by government that we cannot afford to lose any of these cases. So to the extent that we do not win in this round, we will appeal that. We will take them to the highest courts in the land, be it the state of New York or of the United States of America.
Schwartz says because of the size of that church building in Perry, the mask mandate should not apply. Wyoming County officials cited the church for violating a local health ordinance. Students at a Pennsylvania high school got out of class yesterday after a reported bobcat made its way inside the school building.
A bobcat? Wow!
The West Scranton High School, home of the invaders, oddly enough, dismissed school when the wildcat was discovered on the building's surveillance cameras.
I don't think anyone would have predicted this, of course, but our staff and students did a wonderful job not reacting, just making sure that they quietly got out of the building.
The Pennsylvania Game Commission was called in. The animal turned out to be a stray cat, not a bobcat. The captured cat was a missing feline from the neighborhood. It's been reunited with its family.
Had us for a little bit of a run around town, trying to follow up leads and stuff, and then behold, he's at West. So, sorry, guys.
That's one wild cat in Scranton. The animal control officers were able to track down the cat's owner through a microchip, of all things. Buffalo is all abuzz after last night's historic game in the Queen City. Buffalo hosting, of course, its first Major League Baseball game in more than a century with fans in attendance.
It was a blast. Super fun to be out again. It was amazing.
You can't miss this game. You have to be here for it.
We had to be here for the first Buffalo Major League Baseball game in over 100 years. Had to make it.
More than 5,300 baseball fans made it. They flocked to Salem Field to watch the Toronto Blue Jays play the Miami Marlins. Bars and restaurants surrounding the ballpark are looking forward to a boom in business this summer.
I think we have yet to even hit the peak when you're talking about having Yankees games, Red Sox, all this kind of excitement coming in. This is just the start.
Erie County set up a COVID vaccination site outside the ballpark for folks who want to can get the jab. Alex Blasky of Amherst was eager to do just that.
Well, to be honest with you, I was coming to the game and I was planning on doing it, and I figured two birds, one stone, and it's pretty convenient. There was no line. Literally took me 2 seconds. It was easy in, easy out.
The Toronto Blue Jays will be playing all their home games in Buffalo at least through the 4th of July. More on the game next. It's the 2-Minute Drill. Sonny Delphia.
Yeah, let's stay in Buffalo where Vlad Guerrero Jr. putting on his show.
Glad he doubled his first time up. Yep. Goes after the first pitch and hits it hard to left. Get up, ball. Get out of here. Gone. Vlad Guerrero has seen two pitches tonight. He's got a double and a three-run homer.
He would add two singles to go 4-for-4 on the day. Big win for the Blue Jays, 5-1. Putting on a show in the Bronx.
Drill deep to left field. Going back, more go. Turning, looking, see ya.
Clint Frazier with that two-run walk-off homer. Bottom of the 11th, Yankees win 5-3. Football game broke out between the Phillies and Reds. Phillies winning 17-3. Nationals big over the Braves, 11-6. Cleveland beat Chicago 6-5. Pirates fall to Kansas City 10-5, and the Orioles win. They beat the Twins 7-4, snapping their 14-game losing streak. Manager Brandon Hyde.
It's definitely nice to get a win and nice to get a lead early, and Zimmerman threw the ball really well. But yeah, it was a hold-on tight there for the last five or six out.
To the NBA, the Nets are into the second round. They beat the Celtics 123-109 at home. They'll take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Devin Booker scored 30. Suns destroy the Lakers 115-85 to take a 3-2 series lead. Dame Lillard had 55 points and 10 assists. Not enough as the Trailblazers fall to Denver 147-140. By the way, the 76ers could be without star guard Joel Embiid for their game against the Wizards tonight. He's battling a right knee soreness. The right to draft 18-year-old Michigan defenseman Owen Power is on the line tonight. The NHL draft lottery held in Secaucus, New Jersey. Buffalo Sabres have the best chance at the top pick. And June 2nd, a big day in Major League Baseball, Lou Gehrig Day.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
June 2nd was the start of Gehrig's 2,130th consecutive games played streak and the day he died in 1941. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delviette.
All right, Sonny, thank you very much for that. And still to come on the Noon Report on Family Life, Fauci's COVID book. Should public officials profit off the pandemic? Texas backlash. Are voting laws racist? And an ex-BLM leader sounds off. The ugly truth behind some of today's social activism.
The greatest challenge to Christianity today, at least in the West, is nothing more than an ancient belief that's been challenging Christianity for generations. It's just kind of been reincarnated. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In his very important book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern South, Dr. Carl Truman argues that the key idea to understand our current cultural moment, the one that can explain almost everything that's going on, it's expressive individualism. You've heard it described this way, that you have to be true to yourself. And the only way to be true to yourself is to look inside and to define who you are in psychological and sexual terms. What this means, of course, is that our true identity can't be known by anyone else except for ourselves, because it's only known by looking inside. But everyone else is morally responsible to embrace whoever or whatever we claim about ourselves, even if, in fact, especially if, what we reveal contradicts what's observable about us. Now, in reality, this is nothing more than a post-postmodern redux of an ancient religion called Gnosticism. The Gnostics believed in a sharp distinction between the physical and spiritual worlds. The physical world, they thought, was evil. The spiritual world was good. Since humans are both material and spiritual in their makeup, they believed the physical body to be evil, but the soul to be good. Possibly the soul could even be fragments of God, yearning to return to Him, but unable to do that because it was trapped in our physical bodies. Another interesting distinction between today's version of Gnosticism and the ancient version is we have found a way through technology to follow both lifestyle paths at the same time. We're sexually promiscuous, but technology allows us to be antenatal, since, you know, children hinder that pursuit of happiness and truth. Now, let me be as clear as possible here. The neo-Gnostic orthodoxy that we see in our culture today has absolutely nothing in common with God's Word, with the reality of God's world, or the place of our bodies within us. The story of the Bible is clear. God created us good, both in body and in soul, physically and spiritually, even if sin has marred both aspects of our humanness. In fact, our own intuitions about ourselves and about right and wrong are hopelessly distorted by sin. We need the truth to come from outside of ourselves, not inside of ourselves. And so God, in His great mercy, gave us His revelation to tell us who we are and to teach us what is good. Despite the reality of sin all around us, God doesn't make mistakes. And this is the most fundamental way that Christianity differs from Gnosticism, either in its ancient or contemporary versions. The fundamental divide in Gnosticism is between the physical and the spiritual. The fundamental divide in biblical Christianity is between the Creator and the creation. And despite the fact that God created the world good, and despite the fact that the world itself, physical and spiritual, has been corrupted by sin, we know that God doesn't make mistakes. Our bodies and souls are not only matched to each other, they're inseparable. Any attempt to separate them will result in just more brokenness in our lives and in our cultures. Ryan Anderson put it this way recently at the Wilberforce Weekend Conference. No one's born in the wrong body because you're not in a body. You are a body. You see, the biblical description of who we are is far better than anything that our culture is selling, or in this case, reselling us after rehashing an ancient idea and his directions for how to live. are far better for us because we don't need some secret private truth. God has told us who we are. God has revealed to us how we should live. And he's united us with Christ, who is the truth, capital T, that can empower us to live in that reality. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
All right, John, thank you very much. Weather next with Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon, variably cloudy with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures in the 70s. Cloudy tonight, tomorrow with showers and a couple of thunderstorms. Low tonight, 55 to 60. High temperatures tomorrow near 70. On Friday, some sunshine, just a slight chance of an afternoon thunderstorm. The high in the 70s and low 80s.
Kevin Williams, the Weather Authority. It's 20 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. It's great to have you with us today. A lot going on this Wednesday afternoon, the 2nd of June. Let's recap. Meat buyers are scrambling today after the largest supplier in the world shut down all of its U.S. plants yesterday. Brazil-based JBS blames hackers from a Russian crime ring. Nate Evans is a computer scientist at the University of Colorado.
Ransomware is kind of this brazen attack that is in your face and just says, we're here, we want your money, and that's pretty much all they want. They're not usually trying to disrupt things. If you don't pay the ransom, then hopefully they'll stop doing it. But if you don't pay the ransom, you could be down for, you know, days or weeks.
JBS hopes to be back online 100% today. Cybersecurity expert Jason Crabtree.
Consumers are going to continue to experience more of these kinds of disruptions given the relatively nascent state of defenses in a lot of major U.S. corporates and other global corporates around the world. We've got to demand more.
He fears a meat shortage from this latest hack attack. Just a month ago, the Colonial Pipeline was hacked by foreign invaders, and that led to massive gas shortages on the East Coast. A former BLM leader is sounding off today on what he calls the ugly truth behind the group Black Lives Matter. Rashad Turner says the organization is failing black kids by its refusal to support school choice.
How can Black Lives Matter if black minds don't matter? BLM has been co-opted. They've been co-opted by teachers' unions. So if black lives really matter, we must start in that classroom.
He says teachers' unions are preventing blacks from having the same opportunities as whites when it comes to education.
They walk around acting like they're so woke that they understand what's best for black children. Right, but they own our education system.
Turner quit a BLM chapter that he founded in Minnesota after coming to the conclusion that the organization has no interest, he says, in strengthening black families. Dr. Anthony Fauci has a new book on the COVID pandemic. It's due out this fall. Fauci's been the public face of the health crisis since day one. Critics, though, are already comparing his book to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's book, which came out last fall at the height of the pandemic.
We should probably bundle this book, you know, save a couple of bucks, with Andrew Cuomo's book, who got a $5 million book advance while the pandemic was still raging so he could spike the football in the end zone, talking about what a great job he did, what he did, and this isn't even up for debate, the worst job of any governor if you look at the numbers. Again, you had Cuomo profiting off a pandemic, a government official. Now we have Fauci doing it as well. I think this is appalling.
Media critic Joe Concha says public officials should not be profiting off the pandemic. Texas is facing backlash over a new voting reform bill. Democrats staged a walkout in Austin this week to protest. They say it suppresses the vote. Republicans argue it restores election integrity. Representative Briscoe Kane.
This legislation expands voting and makes it easy to vote, tough to cheat. It doesn't punish or criminalize voters. It seeks to protect them.
The lieutenant governor of Texas says he may withhold lawmakers' pay if they don't return to the Capitol and do their jobs. Florida has become the 8th state in America to ban transgender girls from playing boy sports. Governor Ron DeSantis.
Athletic teams or sports that are designated for females are open to females. And we're going to go based off biology.
psychology, not based off ideology, when we're doing sports.
DeSantis says it's all about protecting the fairness and the integrity of women's sports. We're coming up on 25 past the hour. Next up at noon today, another edition of Inside Out with Martha Menikas Foster. Today's topic, addressing children's fears. Martha is speaking with author and Cedarville University professor Dan DeWitt. Here's some of that conversation.
Dan, I'm guessing that you did not have the pandemic in mind when you wrote The Bright Light and the Super Scary Darkness. But what about the pandemic do you think can be frightening to children?
Well, you're right. I didn't have the pandemic in mind at all when I wrote the book. I actually did for a fun project. I wrote a book called We're Stuck in a House. That I put the story online, you know, right when the pandemic started, and let kids illustrate it, and then I self-published it with their drawings in it.
Mm-hmm.
This book, even though it wasn't about the pandemic, really is, in terms of for children and for adults, when our normal routine is disrupted, our first instinct often is anxiety. You know, things aren't the way they normally are. And not only do kids have anxiety from the disruption of their normal routine, in terms of spring trips, last spring when, you know, the shutdowns first started, summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have added to that, they could tell their parents are stressed about things. The stress that comes from their parents who normally would have these routines of going off to work and going out and about. Now they're working from home and they're trying to, you know, do things like phone interviews, you know. And so kids have their own anxiety, but then I think the anxiety of their parents that they kind of take on is scary to them. And so I think that this book, which reminds us of God's faithfulness and God's power, hopefully has been an encouragement for kids who are stuck at home and struggling with what to do with their anxiety.
Mm-hmm. So what are some ways that you have found to describe to children how God overcomes whatever frightens them, the anxiety of change, or if their anxiety is actually about perhaps getting a disease? God is faithful, but what are ways to describe that?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes as parents, we're tempted to try and gloss over, you know, our fears. And so, oh, everything's going to be okay. Well, sometimes that's not, from an earthly perspective, it's not okay. You know, it could be easy to soothe a kid with something like, hey, there's nothing in the closet. You know, there's no boogeyman. There's no monster.
Mm.
But we all know that long term, we need something more than nothing to get through the challenges of life. And so what I try to do is say there is real evil in the world, and we expect that because of Genesis 3. I don't go in great detail about all the kinds of evils in the world, but there's, you know, of course, there's moral evil. People do bad things. There's natural evil. There's storms, and there are natural disasters, and then there's disease. So we live in a world that is really scary, and we can't just say, well, there's nothing to be afraid of. And so what I hope to do in this book is to say that there's a God who's bigger than all these things. And it could be that we face real challenges in life, and we will. But the reality is, for me, I think of Psalm 73, where Asaph is troubled because wicked people are prospering. And at the end of that great psalm, Asaph says, but you're always with me.
Mm.
You hold me by the hand. And then he goes on to say, and you will receive me to glory. So this picture, the two truths that really uphold us are God's never going to leave us, no matter how bad things seem. And at the end of this life, we'll be with God. And so what I try to point to in the book is that there is a real darkness as the result of sin, but that God is the bright light, that Jesus is the bright light that defeats the super scary darkness.
Yes, there's real danger here, but we are really, really loved and we are taken care of. Yeah. For those who are just joining us, I'm talking today with Dan DeWitt, author of the children's book, The Bright Light and the Super Scary Darkness. Dan, how can parents help their children hold on to this truth that God's good news wins out over anything that scares them?
I think that the way that we help our kids hold on to these truths is that they see in us a persistent trust in the gospel. And at times it will be looking to the gospel for our hope through a veil of tears. But this deep, abiding confidence that God is and that God is for us, that he is there. And as one of my favorite authors, Francis Schaeffer, used to say, he is there and he is not silent. And that changes everything. And so I think even as we're coping as adults with our own anxieties and real issues and struggles in life, to let them see us keep coming back to the gospel. Mm-hmm. And of this gospel, as Paul says, may we never be ashamed.
You've been listening to author and Cedarville University professor Dan DeWitt speaking with our own Martha Menikas Foster. You can catch that complete interview at familylife.org. Just click on the news icon. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon, variably cloudy with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures in the 70s. Cloudy tonight and tomorrow with showers and a couple of thunderstorms. Low tonight, 55 to 60. High temperatures tomorrow near 70. On Friday, some sunshine, just a slight chance of an afternoon thunderstorm. The high in the 70s and low 80s.
All right, after that, the heat is on, looking at 90 degrees by early next week. Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, don't try this at home, folks. From Bradbury, California, 17-year-old Haley Marinacco was able to save her dogs by fending off a bear attack yesterday.
Honestly, the only thing I had in mind was to protect my dogs. That's what I did.
The brave teen saw the bear on top of a wall in her backyard. That giant beast was about to make a meal out of the family dogs when Marinacco ran outside, shoved that bear off the wall, grabbed her dogs, and then ran back inside. She does not recommend you do what she did ever.
Do not push bears. Do not get close to bears. You do not want to get unlucky.
Yeah, bears are going to win that fight every time. And the video of that bear encounter in Bradbury, California has gone viral. Definitely worth checking out. And that's the world we live in. Wednesday, the 2nd of June. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.